Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Workman. Judy joins us on a Thursday morning right before this week in the Lakeville Journal. And Judy, of course, is the author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Journal of a Doc Midwife, and her book, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. Let's welcome in the doctor with the house call. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and I'm glad I'm inside and not outside in this rather rainy, miserable day, but it should get nicer by this afternoon
and
as well.
At least it's not ice pellets. You know, I mean, I'm one of those Floridians that doesn't mind the... I don't mind it when it's humid. I know I called myself a Floridian. I don't mind it when it's warm rain. I mind it horrifically when it is cold and icy rain.
Right. Then the only recourse is to go back to bed, if you can.
Yeah, well, this is definitely weather to go back to bed.
Right.
I will grant you that.
So the topic I want to talk to you about today really was stimulated by a conversation I had with a close friend, actually an associate, also a close friend, with whom I work on in a nonprofit organization. Woman has been obese almost her entire life, I mean, to the point where at one point, and this is sort of another topic, she almost did not get the job as head of the organization because somebody on the board said, well, if somebody is so fat, how can that person possibly be counted on to have the discipline and the...
isn't that just hideous? I'm sorry, but isn't that just wrong?
Thank God, people didn't pay any attention to this particular member. But she called me about a year ago, and she was very excited because her primary care doctor had found a drug for her that allowed her to lose weight without really trying. I mean, she found that her hunger had decreased. She no longer was snacking. She started to lose weight sufficiently so that exercise is no longer a problem. And she thought, for the first time in my life, I'll be able to get down to a weight that's medically preferable. Then, about 2 or 3 months ago, she called me very upset and said, you know, I can't get this drug anymore because it's the Medicare, which she's now on, won't allow a payment for this particular drug. It's a class of drugs called semaglutide, S-E-M-A-G-L-U-T-I-D-E. And it's a drug that initially has been and still is being used for type 2 diabetes, and it not only controls blood sugar and it puts you back into metabolic control, but it was found when it first started to be used that many of the obese diabetics were losing weight and without even trying to do so. And eventually, long story short, the manufacturers of the drug decided that they really could use it as a separate drug for obesity interventions, and started marketing as that. And that's how my friend came to take it about a year and a half ago. But now, what has happened is this. Health insurers are refusing to pay the cost of this drug, and Medicare is refusing altogether to pay for the cost of this drug if it's given for weight loss. If it's given for diabetes control, the control of blood sugar, they will pay for it. Same drug. Second interesting fact is that when the drug is given for diabetes, it has one price. Same drug, when it's given to help support weight loss, the price is increased enormously. Same drug, different patient. And when there was an article in the New York Times about this by Gina Collada about a month ago, and she interviewed the CEO of the company that makes the drug. Well, wait a minute, sir, why are there two different prices for the drug? And he could not come up with any kind of answer that made any kind of sense.
That's because
she wrote, and other people have written about this also, that there is a real bias in the medical profession, and obviously it spills over now to the health insurers and Medicare, to providing any kind of financial support for people who want to take these drugs in order to lose their weight. And the curious thing is that the health insurers and all health insurance companies and also Medicare will pay for surgery, which, of course, is much more expensive and has the risk of disability and even death as a result of the operation, and no absolute assurance that you will keep the weight off once you actually have this very expensive and difficult operation. They will pay for that, but they won't pay for a drug that will allow you to lose weight without another necessity of having being operated on. And that's where it stands right now. Well, what happened to my friend? She and her very astute doctor did a blood test. She doctored a blood test and found, and this is true, they weren't making it up, that because she was still obese, she hadn't lost all the weight she had to, her blood sugar was elevated and put her into the category of being pre-diabetic. And guess what? Now she could get the drug prescribed for diabetics, and her health insurance company will pay for it, and Medicare. But the catch is that as she continues to lose weight and her blood sugar levels return to normal, she no longer can get the drug because she no longer will be in the diabetic category that allows her health insurance company to pay for it. And it's not a trivial amount of money. It's extremely expensive. And in fact, again, it's much more expensive to get the drug for obesity than for diabetes. And this sort of opens up the whole issue of why are we preventing people from getting the kind of care that they need? Why are we preventing obese people who need to find some way of getting them to lose weight when other methods don't work? Why are we preventing them from getting this care? And, you know, one obvious answer is that it's not fat shaming, but people say, well, you know, you've been on the diet before, you've tried all these different kinds of weight loss interventions, from Weight Watchers to packaged food that's delivered at your door, and nothing seems to work, so why should we pay for anything more? You know, if you just have the self-discipline, you lose the weight.
Well, I'm going to interject here, and I've been trying to, but my mic was off, which is probably a good thing for your listeners. All right? One.
Okay.
Item of the first part. What you're talking about is true of any, this is one of the, let's just call it, issues with the pharmaceutical industry. Okay, it is industrialized and it is designed not to, obviously you're grown up enough to know that you don't make money if you cure people.
Right.
End of story. So this thing that has happened to your friend, it happens to all sorts of people if they find something that is working and helping.
Exactly,
it's
right.
Only a matter, you can turn over the little hourglass, and at some point you will find out why it is that you can't have.
But Jill, when you're looking at a cost-benefit analysis,
yeah.
If she continues to stay as heavy as she was, thank God she's not right now, then the cost to the health insurers and to Medicaid and to our society in general as taxpayers is going to go way up because she's going to develop the myriad of health problems that are associated with being obese. So where's the sense there?
Don't you understand, dear? You're not supposed to ask questions like that. I've learned that when I was 5 years old.
Don't,
because you can take that question and pick a topic, any topic. Oh, well, if blah, blah, and forget rocket science. It doesn't take more than an elementary school, just a certain, we'll just even call it a little common sense. And you'll go, and this is what is wrong and this is what needs to change. And I'm really happy that the doctor did a blood test. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that she's going to be pre-diabetic for a long time. And that's just the way
that
it's going to be.
Even if she has to take a cube of sugar before she has that blood test.
You got that right. Yep.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, and just to finish up, when people say, well, you lost weight before and you're now fat, so why should we pay for you to lose weight again? What if she had depression and she was depressed in the summer of 2021, and now in the summer of 2022, she's depressed again. Do you think anybody would say, well, no, you can't have an antidepressant again because we treated you once, and you got over it, and you're depressed again, so why should we bother giving you an antidepressant again? Of course they wouldn't say that. But they don't look at obesity for some people as a chronic disease that has flare-ups between remission. And when you have the flare-ups, you can't help yourself from gaining weight or not exercising or not stopping your overeating. Then you should be treated again so that the flare-up doesn't become just something permanent. But nobody seems to have that commonsensical approach.
Right. And by the way, once again, sorry to be repetitive, but if you can take that, if you take that same equation, basically, and apply it to anything else, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be exactly the same thing. So the important thing is to use that commonsensical approach, and Marshall is telling me to be quiet, so I'm going to say...
Okay. Hope the sunshine comes out. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
She gets off the phone quicker than anybody I've ever known.